From First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, here's Dr. Michael Milton.
Christ himself is the captain of our salvation who will go before you. The Bible says he hedges us in. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the good shepherd. Jesus said those who know him will hear him and follow him. And that is all the way home. His people follow him. As wise men were led across many miles in strange sign, we are led. No, we are drawn. Drawn by the power of a love this world has never known. And there is no Roman government, no Herod, no problem, no affliction that can keep you from getting home as long as he is with you and you're holding his hand. Jesus is the way we need to go.
The Bible declares faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Welcome to Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, the radio outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, a ministry with one great passion and belief that faith comes from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in God's Word, and that faith in Jesus Christ is faith for living. This week, Dr. Milton brings to us a message entitled, Jesus is a Way We Need to Go, as we conclude our Advent series, Why God Gave Us Christmas. The Bible text for today's broadcast is from John chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Here again is Dr. Mike Milton with today's message entitled, Jesus is the Way We Need to Go.
It is chapter 1 of the Gospel according to St. John, and we're going to read verses 14 through 17, but that verse 14 is a powerhouse. The Scottish theologian William Barclay said it was for verse 14 that John wrote his gospel. Verse 14, what does it have to do with Christmas? Let's listen. The inerrant, the infallible Word, the gift of God for us this morning, John chapter 1, verse 14 and following. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, we bring before you the needs of a nation, our president and vice president, members of Congress, our own senators and congressmen representing us, the judiciary, our governor and all of the state branches of government, our mayor. We lift all of these before you, for we should pray for kings and all of those who are in authority, that we may lead a peaceful and godly life in order that we may present the gospel. And so, Lord, we do pray for peace and wisdom for our military, for soldiers and sailors and airmen across the world in the wintry environment of Europe, Bosnia, as well as the sands of the Middle East, of Iraq and Afghanistan particularly. O Heavenly Father, bless them as they hear the word on this Christmas. Heads are bowed all over this nation. Will you now send revival? Will you send revival to us, Lord? And will you show us your word for our lives this morning in this word? Hide me behind the cross, I pray, and magnify your word. Exalt yourself and bless these sheep, the flock, the sheep of your hand. We pray in the Good Shepherd's name, even Jesus our Lord. Amen. In between my house and the rest of the world, when I was a little boy, was a field. It was a thistle field. It was a great world to explore every day as a little barefooted boy in South Louisiana, but you had to get across that thistle field. Since I've grown older, it seems that there's still thistle fields in between where I am today and where I want to go. A hardship to overcome, maybe a mistake in my past which has left a prickly landscape, a misunderstanding with a friend, and even physical disability at times. And this Christmas, I know that there are thistle fields in our congregation because I often look over the thistle fields with you of broken relationships, divorce, financial problems, straying children breaking your heart, broken promises among friends, and even the open doors of opportunity, which look so great, but there's a thistle field called fear separating you from accepting that call in your life. I have found in my own life there are several ways to get across a thistle field. One way is to hold your breath and run as hard as you can across that thistle field. The only problem is if you're barefooted running across a thistle field, you're going to end up in a lot of pain. It's not worth it. It's not worth it closing your eyes and just stoically moving into the pain of your life and say, well, I'm just going to suffer through it. There's another way, and that is to take the hand of someone else who knows the way. In my case, as a little boy, it was my Aunt Eva. She could see places I couldn't in the field. She could stop me from going in one place and redirect me because there were no thistles there and I wouldn't get stuck. On this fourth Sunday in Advent, we return back to John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, we come to see why God gave us Christmas. God gave us Christmas because Jesus Christ is the way that we need to go. John is leaving the prologue and transitioning into the story of John the Baptist and telling us that Jesus Christ really is the way that we need to go. And I want to talk to you this morning from God's Word and from this passage about three very important facts here about Jesus and his relationship to our world, how we can trust him, how we can take his hand and follow him, and how he will lead us through the obstacles and impediments and challenges and problems of life all the way through our lives. First of all, we want to see that Jesus in this passage is the incarnate God who experiences our world. This is verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's so many things that have been said about this. I went to my study to see what a couple of my favorites would say about it. J.C. Ryle said, "This is one of those great truths which are meant not to be curiously pried into, but to be reverently believed." Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist from London in the 19th century, says he did not merely assume the name and notion and appearance of manhood, but the reality, the weakness, the suffering, the mortality of our manhood, he actually took into union with himself. He was no phantom, no apparition, but he had a human body and a human soul. The Word was made flesh. When the Lord became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, his incarnation in a human body brought him far nearer to man than when he only abode with curtains and occupied a tent in the midst of Israel. What a glorious passage, teaching us that God, without diminishing in any way his divinity, took flesh upon himself. And the Logos that John talked about, we learn, is not just some impersonal Hellenistic philosophy, but in fact, the Logos was personal. The Logos should be referred to, the Word, Logos in the Greek, should be referred to as He. The Logos, the Word of God, the fullest expression of God, is Jesus. And he has come to experience our world. And that is why we can take his hand, because he's like one of us. This is what the writer to the Hebrews said. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. And that great passage, Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. This is why you can take his hand this morning. Whatever you face in your life, and trust him, because God took upon himself flesh, and he's become like you, yet without sin. One of my favorite newer songs of the season is a song by Chris Rice, "Welcome to Our World." Words go like this: tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child. Welcome, Holy Child. Hope that you don't mind our manger. How I wish we would have known. But long-awaited Holy Stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Word now breaking heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Fragile finger sent to heal us. Tender brow prepared for thorn. Tiny heart whose blood will save us. Unto us is born. Unto us is born. So wrap our injured flesh around you. Breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sin and make us holy. Perfect Son of God, perfect Son of God, welcome to our world. And this is what John is saying, that he has come. But my beloved, we can not only welcome Jesus on this Christmas to our world, but to my world, to your world. He's here for you. And whatever it is that you face in your life, you can take the hand of Jesus Christ. He's like you. The other thing that we learn here, though, is Jesus is not just the incarnate God who comes to experience our world. He's the eternal God who transcends our world. For we read in verse 15, John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." See, John here, though he presents Jesus in his full humanity, here is presenting Jesus as the eternal God who transcends our world. For John the baptizer said of Jesus, "He was before me." Now, in earthly age, he wasn't, but he is speaking of the essential created order. Jesus, the eternal God. And this is the other reason this morning, beloved, you can take his hand, is because he transcends all of your problems. He has a perspective over your problems that you can never have, I can never have. It's that eternal perspective. Jesus is God, transcendent. Yes, he's personal. And that allows us to take his hand, but he's transcendent, and that allows us to put our burdens upon him and just trust him. What a great perspective he has. This past week, my son was asking me about my experiences as a top secret linguist in naval intelligence, and that I was, but I only had access to certain things. But sometimes I like to build that up just a little bit, and the stories get better as I get older. And he wanted to know some secret stuff. And I told him a little bit, and I would tell you, except I would have to, no, I'm not going to tell you that. Everything I told him was true or could be true. You think about that. But he wanted to know about my perspective. You see, I had an access into things. He wanted to know about that. That's the perspective of a transcendent God who can see past your problems. On the front porch of our church, I stood with one of our members, and we stood and we prayed to God, and we had no idea about how to pray. The problem was so difficult and so perplexing, with ethical challenges, that I could not fully answer. I didn't have an answer. The only answer I had is, let's go to God. This thing is too big for us. And this week, we watched how God miraculously answered that prayer at the front of our church in the life of this family. My beloved, he'll do it for you. You cast your burden on the Lord. He cares for you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time, because he is the eternal God who transcends our world. And finally, he is the gracious God who redeems our world. For we read, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And when John is talking about the fullness of Jesus Christ here, he's talking about the same thing Paul was talking about in Colossians, when Paul said, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. The fullness of God has come to the earth in Jesus Christ, and by faith in Jesus Christ, the fullness of God can come to you. The redeeming power of God comes into your life and mine when by faith we receive him as our Lord and our Savior. John says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This is not a conflict in the scripture. It is showing the complementary nature of divine history. He is speaking about not the moral law, but the Old Testament Levitical law, the old covenant ceremonial law of Moses, which was a picture, which was a type, shadows of things to come. That came through Moses. That is the old covenant. Even our Bibles are divided into old and new. Under Moses, but now grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. It's not like what Moses did was wrong. It was a shadow. It was incomplete. It was pointing. Moses painted a picture with the ceremonies of the temple, the ceremonies of the tabernacle. Moses painted a picture, but now it's fulfilled in Jesus. Grace upon grace is offered to you. You can take his hand, because he redeems. You know what? When I was that little barefooted boy, the best way to get through a thistle field is to let Aunt Eva go before me and stomp out the thistles like that. And she would rub them out and go across the field. And all I had to do was then just follow her wherever her footsteps went. That's what I would do. And Jesus is your Redeemer who goes before you and He makes a way through your life. How? Oh, He knows how. How will He do it in the particular situation you're facing? I'm not sure, but He'll do it. He's a Redeemer, and when you receive Him into His life, the redeeming power that is in the world becomes yours. The power of the universe, the fullness of God comes into your life when you receive Him. I don't know why it is, but Christmas for me has often become a time as a pastor where I minister to the dying. I was visiting with three different families in our church who are looking to the Lord in a family vigil as they see their loved ones preparing to go home to be with Christ. In one case, I wanted to visit the mother of one of our members, and as I pulled into the parking lot of the care facility, the daughter was right behind me. She pulled up and we greeted each other and she said, "We don't have long, let's go." And we went in to see her mom, and as we came in, as we were walking together, an orderly in the care facility got us and caused us to walk faster because he said, "We don't have hours, we have minutes." And it was one of the most beautiful things as we gathered there and I saw Suzanne's father holding the hand of his bride of 72 years. And then his head bowed in prayer as he held her limp hand. And I watched as Suzanne stroked her mother's hair. And I sought to bring the Word of God to this woman who was about to take a journey. And I talked about Jesus as her good shepherd. I talked about from Isaiah 43 how He knows your name. He created you. And you are precious in His sight and He loves you. And it was during that time as we were gathered that the Lord Jesus came and received this woman to Himself. And Suzanne gave me permission to tell you that because we wanted you to see the beauty in this one case, the beauty of how you can trust God all the way. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And to me, sometimes precious and death don't exactly go together. But in Jesus Christ, they do. Because He has defeated, He has crushed the ugly thing. Paul said, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." And that's what Aunt Eva did with those thorns. That's what Jesus Christ does. With evil and with the things that stand against His saints. He loves you. And Christ Himself is the captain of our salvation who will go before you. The Bible says He hedges us in. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the good shepherd. Jesus said, "Those who know Him will hear Him and follow Him." And that is all the way home. Not only the trials and tribulations, the thistle fields of this life, but that final thistle field of death. Christ has crushed that so that the ugly thing has now become a portal through which we pass to the splendors of the presence of Christ. His people follow Him. Like Mary and Joseph were led across the thistle field of rumors and a mad king and a stable and a feed trough. Unfit for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As wise men were led across many miles in strange sign, we are led. No, we are drawn. Drawn by the power of a love this world has never known. And there is no Roman government, no Herod, no problem, no affliction, no trouble, no death, no thistle field that can keep you from getting home as long as He is with you and you're holding His hand. And He is with you if you will but reach out by faith and take hold of Him this very day. Jesus is the way we need to go. Let us pray. Blessed Savior, receive our prayer. in your name, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would cause men and women and boys and girls here to receive you as Lord and Savior, or to once again take your hand by faith, having been straying, having been walking away from you, that they would walk toward you, be drawn by the power of your love, grace upon grace, the uniqueness of the only Son of God, full of grace and truth, drawing us. Lord, let it be as you do your ministry with your people today. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you want to find the way to God, you must go through Jesus Christ, who declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." For an audio copy of today's message, be sure to call or write and ask for "Jesus is the Way We Need to Go." You can write to us at Faith for Living, 554 Macaulay Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. Or call 423-648-7914. That's 423-648-7914. You can also hear today's teaching on our website at faithforliving.net. This program is also available for downloading onto your iPod through iTunes.com. Faith for Living with Dr. Mike Milton is an outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, with a passion for God's Word, a heart for God's world, and a commitment to God's grace. Our mission is to gather and grow strong disciples of Christ, to be sent forth to make new disciples. You're invited to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11. We're located at 554 Macaulay Avenue, across from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga campus. To learn more about the ministry, visit us on the web at faithforliving.net. That's faithforliving.net. Or call the church office at 423-267-1206. That's 423-267-1206. Your generous gift sent to Faith for Living would be of great encouragement and would help us to get the broadcast out to more people. You're invited to send your gift of support to Faith for Living, 554 Macaulay Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. Now, until next time, on behalf of Mike Milton and First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith and a faith for living. I'm Dan Parker, and this has been a presentation of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga.